If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of John. We're continuing to look at the commands of Christ. This is actually command number 46. There's three more commands after tonight. John chapter 21. When we get through with these, you can consider yourselves discipled, because we'll have looked at every one of the commands. And I keep forgetting, I was going to give you a list of them all, and I would need to do that. And so if you've missed some, you can go back and check them out. So John chapter 21, let's begin reading with verse 15. We'll read through verse 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. I gave you a study question this morning. The question was, since the Lord knows every sheep by name, which he does, he knows you by name. He knows numbers of very hairs on your head. Since he knows every sheep by name and laid down his life for them, why does he entrust their daily feeding, encouragement, and protection to under-shepherds who may be inadequate or inconsistent in carrying out these vital tasks? Answers? Jesus was perfect, right? He was the good shepherd. He was a perfect shepherd. And yet, he leaves his sheep now in the cares of people who are human, who make mistakes. Why did he entrust his sheep to people like that? Anybody got an idea? Very good, very good. Maybe let me put it this way. Why is it important for people to have a shepherd or a pastor? Why is that important? Or if it is important, maybe you don't think it is, but if it's, is it important to have a pastor, somebody to shepherd you and guide you? If so, why?
Because the sheep need an illustrator.
That's a good point. Sheep can be easily led astray. Right, so you have the protection of the shepherd to try to keep you from running away, to keep you in the fold. Anything else? Deb? Okay. Sure. Well, let's stop and pray for them right now. Father, we lift up the UTEX to you. Lord, they've gone through a lot recently. Lord, we ask that you would be with them as they're in the ambulance or being airlifted, that they're being ministered to in their bodies. And yet, Lord, we know that you are the great physician, and that you are the healer. We ask, Lord, that you would spare their lives. We ask, Lord, that you would touch them and heal them. Lord, there wouldn't be any paralysis, but Lord, they would be just fine, that they would come out of this with no lingering effects. Lord, we ask for your mighty power and your grace, Lord, and just be with them and comfort them. May they feel your presence. May they feel your love surrounding them. May they feel your healing power and virtue. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, well, let's work through this, and then we'll find out some more about them. What we need to do to feed my sheep is look at this command, first of all, and do what it says to feed God's sheep. A number of the disciples had fished all night, had not caught anything. Their nets were still empty. Discouraged, they headed toward shore when a man called out to them, "Have you caught anything?" Those are some of the worst words a fisherman can hear if he hasn't caught anything. You know, if you've got a stringer, you don't mind saying, "Yeah, look what I caught." But if you don't have anything, "Have you caught anything?" "Nah, we haven't caught anything." So the man tells him, "Well, why don't you put your nets on the other side of the boat?" And within moments, the net was so full of fish that it began to break. The person who had been on shore giving them this instruction was Jesus. And when the disciples recognized him, they quickly came ashore. Jesus had breakfast already ready for them, and they ate together. But Jesus turns to Peter and asks him a series of important questions. "Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my lambs. Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me the third time? Feed my sheep." Now, you all know that there are different Greek words for love. And the word that Jesus used here, the first two questions, is agape love. "Do you agape love me?" And the third time that Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, he changed the word to phileo. But each time, Peter answers the question with the word phileo. "I, phileo, love you. I, friendship, love you." The word agape was a much stronger kind of love. It means to esteem. It was a deliberate choice. It was a matter of principle or duty. Implies that love for the sake is there to meet somebody else's needs. So this is a self-sacrificing kind of love. It is a love that loves unconditionally and gives of itself. This is the kind of love that God has for us. It was a self-sacrificing, unconditional kind of love. The word phileo indicates having affection for someone to be friend. It is usually a relationship that is based on mutual interest. Peter was grieved when Jesus asked him, "Lovest or filio thou me?" So now in the three instructions Jesus gave to Peter, he uses also two different words that are translated as feed. One means to provide food, while the other Greek word has a much broader range of meaning. It involves all of a shepherd's responsibilities, not just feeding, but all the responsibilities that come with a shepherd caring for his sheep. There is protecting, there is training, there is leading, all of these things in addition to feeding. And additionally, did you notice that Jesus said, first of all, if you love me, care for my lambs. And then the next time he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And then the third time, if you love me, feed my sheep. What do you think the difference is there? What's the difference between, well, we know that besides the obvious difference between lambs and sheep, why would Jesus give two different instructions? What do lambs need and what do sheep need? Any idea?
Lambs need constant care and sheep need guidance.
Yeah, speaking from a new father there with a new lamb, right? They need, babies need constant care. And guidance. As you get older, you still have needs though, right? You still need to be fed. Sheep still need to be led to green pastures. But there's a different level of caring for more mature sheep. The word my in this command I think is also significant because the sheep Christ asked Peter to feed were not Peter's sheep, but they were God's sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And so to help new believers grow into maturity and to continue tending and feeding them once they become mature is what Jesus is talking about by feeding his sheep. Second thing is we can follow the shepherd's example. Who is the chief shepherd? That is Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. And he identifies three major characteristics of a good shepherd. First of all, he says that the good shepherd knows his sheep. A good shepherd personally knows his sheep. In verse 3, it tells us that he calls them by name. Isn't that something? Isn't that great that the God of the universe knows your name? Knows who you are. Knows every detail about your life. He knows you inside and out. He studies you. The second characteristic of a good shepherd is his leadership of the sheep. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. John 10:4. So not only does he lead the sheep to green pastures, he also examines and prepares that field ahead of time. So when the sheep come there to eat, he doesn't have to worry about him. He's removed all the poisonous plants and all the things that would be harmful for a sheep to eat. In the same way, we have to disciple those who are under our care, whom the Lord has given us responsibility for, and to feed them. We have to make sure that they don't get caught up in wrong doctrine or harmful activities that could damage them spiritually. And then finally, a good shepherd sets aside his own personal goals in order to care for the sheep. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. And so the good shepherd puts the needs of his sheep above his own needs. And that's what we need to do as well as shepherds, to put our plans and our priorities not as important as those that we serve. Third thing, feed my lambs. You know, I don't know what it would have been like to try to pastor a church that had 3,000 new converts. Can you imagine that? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were added to the church. I don't know what I'd do if next Sunday we had 3,000 new people that wanted to come here. You know, we wouldn't have room for them. That would be a problem in itself. But how do you disciple 3,000 hungry Christians? That's what they had there in the early church. And God says to the pastors and shepherds, you are going to have to take care of them. You are going to have to feed them, and you're going to have to meet all of their needs. But beyond the original 3,000, the Bible says that the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. So daily people were coming to know Christ, and they were in need of being fed and taken care of and discipled. And so the feeding of those 3,000 early believers provides a pattern for the nurture and care of all future lambs. So here they are on the day of Pentecost. They receive the words of Peter. Their conscience bothers them. They are convicted. They repent of their sins. They're baptized as a declaration of their newfound faith in Christ. And then they received the nourishment that they needed by Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That is the way to grow as a Christian. Continuing in the apostles' doctrine. Now, they didn't have the Bible then, did they? New Testament was not yet written. They had, you know, the Old Testament writings. So they were being taught by these disciples what Jesus had taught them. And so they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. Fellowship is important. We can grow through times of fellowship. Spiritual growth can be stimulated by the fellowship of other believers. You know, when Christians get together, what do they talk about? They talk about Christ. They talk about things of God. They talk about the Bible. Sometimes there's questions. Questions are asked. Makes everybody think. That's how growth takes place. And then they continued in the breaking of bread. Jesus had instituted the Last Supper, the communion table. It's important for us to take part in communion, not only so that we can remember what Jesus did for us, but also so that we can keep our hearts right and pure. Let a man examine himself. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And then prayers. The prayers that they prayed were not a repetition of words. They were times when they cried out to God. They needed God. They had to have God. There was great persecution that was taking place. It wasn't a small thing to become a Christian in those days. It meant you would probably be persecuted. And so they were willing to do that, but they prayed. I mean, they prayed so good, so well, that prison doors came open. Earthquakes happened. When they got together in one accord, the power of the Lord fell. Number four, seek to be a qualified shepherd. Qualified shepherd. God has a way of confirming those who are his spiritual leaders. I think it's very important that when God calls you to do something, you are assured of his calling, that he has really called you. And then some other things about the shepherd. He had to be gentle and patient. A shepherd had to be an example to the flock, not an overlord of them. A shepherd had to have the ability to bring those with differing viewpoints to a common understanding. Sometimes this is difficult because, you know, we have believers who think that they are right, and we have somebody over here that thinks they're right, and if you're not careful, you have a division over those things. And so you try to bring together people, even though they have differing viewpoints and don't always have the same understanding. Scripture also says that a shepherd must not be a novice. That means he must not be a new Christian. one without knowledge. He had to have experience. And this is important because, remember, a good shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't drive his sheep. He leads them. And you can't lead somebody very securely over ground that you yourself have not traveled. And so the shepherd goes ahead of time, preparing the way, has already traveled, has already covered the same ground that he is taking his sheep on. You know, Pastor Kelly and Josh, and you guys that teach Sunday school and stuff, you know that often whatever you are trying to teach is illustrated by your own life because you've done that. You've been there. You've gone through that situation before you try to teach others. You know, how can we teach others how to do something if we have not done it ourselves? And then a shepherd must not be greedy of gain or working for what the Bible calls filthy lucre, but instead have a passion for God's sheep and be willing to make sacrifices for their good. Number five, be an effective shepherd. If the narrow role of shepherding was only in providing food and neglect the health of the sheep, that shepherd would not be very, it would not be completely effective. His responsibilities far exceeded simply feeding the sheep. In the nation of Israel, the priest ministered not only to the spiritual needs of the people, but to their physical needs as well. And I think we've really kind of lost something here. We lost one of our, I believe he was a real man of God, Oral Roberts. Just passed away a week or so ago. I loved what he tried to do in that he tried to care for the body and the soul. And having that hospital built. And there's some things about Oral Roberts that you might not like, and he might not have done everything perfect. But I really commend him for that. You know, and I think that's maybe the church has dropped the ball a little bit there. When Jesus healed the lepers, what did he say? He said, go to the doctors? He said, go to the priests, you know, and let them pronounce you clean. Because we are to minister to the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. And there are a lot of times there is a connection. And that's why James tells us, if there's any sick among you, let him what? Call for the elders, right? Let them pray over him. Nothing wrong with seeking medical help, medical advice, medical remedies. But also call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So it's important. A lot of times, not always, sometimes, let's put it that way, spiritual problems or sicknesses are the result of violating God's law and principles. And that's why James continued, and if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or makes much power available. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of its benefits, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So we are to be concerned about the whole being of a person. John said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And then feed the sheep the word of God. Feed them the word of God. No greater thing can we use to satisfy the hungry soul than the Word of God itself. Feed the Word of God. You know, so many preachers today preach philosophies, preach the ideas of man. But what we need to concentrate on is the Word of God. Give the Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And when we set our heart to diligently seek the Lord through his word. And just an amazing thing happens. He opens it up. And we can understand the words of Scripture. And with the illumination of the Holy Spirit, we can apply its meanings to our life. That's really taking the word and feeding it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What we do is we take the word of God, the Holy Spirit then illuminates it so that we can understand it and then apply it to our lives, apply it to the lives of other people. I think the word of God is the most practical book that there is. We need to know how to apply it. How does it fit into our lives? What is it saying to me at this point in time, at this moment in my life, in this situation? What does God's word say to me about this? And he will teach us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. And the great shepherd of all, Jesus Christ, will feed us with the food that we need to sustain us and to help us grow. And I don't know if you make use of research tools. I would encourage you, everybody should have a concordance, to something to look up the words of Scripture. Now, in the back of your Bible, you probably have a small concordance, but I would encourage you to get a concordance like Strong's or Young's that has every word of the Bible in it. And you can look up and you can find any Bible passage you want through a concordance. Everybody should have a good concordance. A Bible dictionary to help you know more about a topic, to help define certain things. And then cross-reference materials. Your Bible probably has cross-references too, like mine does, has a small row right down the middle of my margins. I don't know if you've got something like that. But that shows you other passages of Scripture that talk about the Scripture that you're reading. And you should look those up and get the whole meaning. People are looking for answers, lasting answers to life's problems. True wisdom is being able to see things from God's perspective, and that comes as we study God's Word. So let's just all ask him for wisdom, so that we can properly be fed ourselves, but so that also we can properly feed others. Those that would be under our care. Dads, we have a responsibility to feed our families, our children. So let's ask God for wisdom so that we can properly feed not our sheep, but his sheep. And the last thing is to know your flock. We have to know the members of our flock. We have to know about them like the Lord knows us. The more we know about people, the better equipped we will be to shepherd them. Let's just bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who is the good shepherd and has set the example for us. For those of us that you have called us to be shepherds, you have set the example for us that we can follow in your steps. Lord, we ask for wisdom so that we can properly feed ourselves, so that we can properly feed your sheep, those that you have entrusted to us to feed, to nurture, and to care for. Help us, Lord, to know our flocks even better than we do. Help us, Lord, to find still waters and green pastures so that those sheep and those little lambs won't have to worry about the enemy. We'll be able to find rest and peace in the midst of this chaotic world in which we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.